Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. The story of immigration from Mexico to the United States is often told in huge numbers. 6.5 million unauthorized immigrants in the country in 2010 and 100,000 illegal border crossings from Mexico last year. But those same numbers are now telling a different story, that undocumented immigration is actually on the decline and that the number of people crossing the border with legal paperwork is actually rising. Better conditions in Mexico, coupled with a more difficult border crossing and life in the U.S., are being credited with the shifting landscape of immigration. Higher wages, more education opportunities, and more jobs in Mexico are altering the calculations for people weighing the options and considering coming to the U.S. for a better life. However, even as numbers back up what sources in Mexico told our next guest from the New York Times, stories of violence along the border plague the public's perception of what is happening with undocumented immigration. Joining me now to talk about this shift in the tide of undocumented immigration is New York Times reporter Damian Cave. He's in Tijuana, Mexico. And here stateside is Jeffrey Passel, senior demographer at the Pew Hispanic Center. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, we want to open up the phones for people especially who want to share their stories about immigration from Mexico. If you yourself are an immigrant from there or if you have family in Mexico who have contemplated the move, please give us a call and tell us what you are hearing currently from south of the border. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And we also want to hear about people who work with immigrants. What, if anything, have you seen change in the past few years? What are you hearing from Mexico on the immigration trend and how people are making the difficult decision to come legally or illegally to the United States? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Damian Cave, let me start with you. There were reports during this recession that immigration to the United States from Mexico was declining because there were fewer jobs here. How is the trend you reported on for the Times yesterday different, or maybe I should say more significant than that, than what we heard over the past few years?
Well, I think it's clearly a factor that the lack of job opportunities in the U.S. was one of many things that I think are suppressing migration. And I guess that's part of what's new here. It's for a long time we've been having this conversation. It's solely been from the American side about the American economy or about American border enforcement. But Mexican immigration has always been a push-pull, and so part of the dynamic occurs in Mexico, too. And so there, the cost-benefit analysis has changed, not just because there are fewer opportunities in the U.S., but also because there's a little bit more hope in Mexico in terms of education and economics. And this isn't across everywhere in the country, but a lot of the states that used to send the majority of immigrants to the United States have changed significantly in the past 10 to 15 years. So I think that's new. The other thing that's new, I think, is crime at the border and some of the challenges that the country's going through in terms of the cartels. The perception is that this drives people out of the country, and along the border areas, that's possibly true. But south of there, if you think about it, if you're a parent and your kid's thinking of going to the United States, the last thing you're going to tell them is, yeah, go through Juarez or go to the border because it's so dangerous. So the family dynamics and the decisions have changed, in part because in order to get to the United States, you have to cross through one of the most dangerous areas of the world.
Yeah, and I want to dig deeply into that part of the decision process in just a moment. But Jeffrey Passel, let's talk demographics for a moment. You're our demographer today. And so let's talk about the numbers for a moment before we get into why this is happening. What's been the decline?
There's been a huge drop over the last 4 or 5 years in the number of new unauthorized immigrants coming to the United States from Mexico and elsewhere as well. And as a result, the population, the number of people here, has begun to decline. The number of Mexicans specifically has declined over the last 2 years. There's a normal flow of undocumented as well as legal immigrants in both directions across the border. There are always people going back to Mexico, and people coming Mexico to the United States. The numbers going back to Mexico haven't changed very much, contrary to, I think, people's expectations, but the number going back has stayed about the same. It's the huge drop in the number coming into the U.S. has affected that balance to the point where the undocumented population is actually starting to decrease a little bit.
Another demographer, Jeffrey Pucel, quoted in the piece, Douglas Massey from the Mexican Migration Project there at Princeton, said, quote, "For the first time in 60 years, the net traffic has gone to zero and probably a little negative." Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, that's net. That's the balance between the people coming into the United States and the people leaving. And in order, when the numbers start to decline, it means that the net flow is back to Mexico, or in his words, negative to the U.S. So we've actually seen that for the last couple of years.
Damien Cave, back over to you. One of the most surprising parts of the story, in my view, was that legal immigration is on the rise. Immigration advocates talk about the lack of options, but your reporting suggests the opposite, that there are more agricultural visas and tourist visas being issued. Is that sustainable?
It's hard to tell. I mean, you have to understand this is on the fringe of the sort of legal immigration system, and there are a lot of people who would tell you that this doesn't necessarily match demand. I mean, you still have 1.3 or 1.4 million Mexicans who are on the waiting list for green cards. But I was surprised by this, too, and I found out about this first at the Shrine for Migrants in the middle of nowhere in Jalisco, where the people told me that they were no longer people weren't coming to pray for their husbands or brothers or sons in the desert. Now they were praying for papers, and there was this real belief that they could get papers. And it turns out that, you know, Mexican and American statistics show that they're right, that it has changed a bit. And so you have a lot of families who have a cousin or someone who's gone, and maybe they haven't gone in their family, but they know someone who has. And so they have this belief that they can do it. And at the same time, the benefits of going legally have become so much greater at a time when being illegal in the United States is such a challenge. So I think that part of it is driven by demand for a legal way to go, and also by the fact that the system has gotten a little bit better.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. My guests are Damien Cave of the New York Times and Jeffrey Pucel, senior demographer at the Pew Hispanic Center. Let's take a call from Peter in Brooklyn. Peter, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I've lived in New York for the last 6 years. I was in North Carolina before, and I've worked with illegal immigrants for the past 10 years. And one shift that's probably the biggest one is just that there isn't as much work available now as there was. So a lot of guys coming over here, and they've been saving up money for 10-some years. Then all of a sudden, they're on the street, they got no work, and they've got to go back. So the decision is whether to stay and try to fight it out, if things aren't getting better, to leave. And another big difference that I've seen over the course of the years is that a lot of guys who are coming over illegally, they've made a plan to just come over, work, and go back. There's not really a sense of trying to bring their families over here. The idea that they bring over their families, they're not going to be able to raise their kids the way they want to, that their family's going to lose the values that they have back in Mexico or Central America, and that it's just not worth it.
So, Peter, you're seeing many of your coworkers coming over temporarily and planning to go back.
Yeah, there's definitely a plan to go back to make the money and spend it over there when they get back home.
All right, Peter, thank you very much for your call. Damien Cave, you report that between 40 and 50% of undocumented immigrants in the U.S. enter legally but then overstay their visas. Do you think the strategy of opening the doors to more legal options might backfire?
Well, I mean, those numbers actually come from Jeff, but you know, the thing that I think the suggestion that, you know, if you look at, say, the number of non-immigrant visas, so people who aren't coming to settle permanently, it's 1.1 million. And as, you know, Jeff's numbers show, the population hasn't grown. So what people often don't remember is that the vast majority of the visas that are issued to Mexicans and most immigrants are used legally. So the vast majority are not overstays. And so, you know, while that is definitely a concern, the government has done a lot of things to try and prevent that. For example, example, the new border crossing cards have biometrics, and they're much harder to share with others or to sell or that sort of thing. So I think it's gotten a little bit tougher to falsify some of these documents once they're already issued. And so while that is definitely a concern, and it's an understandable concern, I think that you have to sort of keep in mind how much of a risk that is based on the numbers that we know. The perception is that this happens all the time. The fact is that it doesn't.
Jeffrey, as Damian says, those numbers come from you and the Pew Center. So let me try and put a fine point on this, because we've been sort of talking around it. What exactly is the distinction between the number of undocumented immigrants declining and the number of legal immigrants? I mean, is it fair to say that there's a replacement going on?
Perhaps a little. It's worth remembering that Mexico has been the largest source of legal immigration for a very long time. There are more legal immigrants admitted from Mexico than any other country. What has happened over the last decade and a half is that a higher percentage of Mexicans, legal immigrants from Mexico who are living in the United States, have become U.S. citizens through naturalization, and that allows them to petition for their spouses, their children, brothers and sisters, and that leads to this waiting line. I think it's the substitution that Damian talks about is in the temporary, legal temporary category, and there's clearly some of that going on through the H-2A visas and a variety of other kinds of worker visas that people would often prefer to use because it's cheaper, it's legal, it's cheaper, it's safer, and they don't have to face the prospects of getting smuggled into the United States.
Let's come back around to this topic of violence along the border while we're having this conversation. And Damian, while your report has been on the front page of the Times, NPR has been airing a two-part series on the violence on the border with Mexico. When President Obama visited El Paso earlier this year to talk about border security and immigration, he made this claim about Homeland Security directors.
Under their leadership, we have strengthened border security beyond what many believed was possible. They wanted more agents at the border. Well, we now have more boots on the ground on the southwest border than at any time in our history.
Now, Janet Napolitano will be visiting the border today. She's also defended the claims that the border is under control. Damian Cave, you're there in Tijuana. Is that accurate from your reporting on border control?
I mean, one of the things that's really tricky about this is that if you look closely at what the definitions are. I mean, the government really hasn't defined what a secure border is. They haven't defined what control is. And so that's partially why you have this debate where some people say it's totally under control and other people say no way. I mean, what I found is that there are sections that are under more control, clearly. It's a lot harder to cross illegally from here in Tijuana. It's a lot harder to cross, you know, in certain parts of Arizona that I was in a few weeks ago. But it doesn't mean that there aren't people trying to cross and there aren't people who get across. And so, you know, it depends. If you think that having a few thousand people cross is success and a secure border, then it is secure. If you think it has to be zero, and a lot of people do, although police will tell you and enforcement officials will tell you that that's a bit of a ridiculous standard, then it's not secure. But I think that's the question. I think the country is still trying to figure out what a secure border really means.
NPR's John Burnett also reported from the border talking to ranchers and others who are warning about continued violence and dangers and how people attempting the border crossing are still facing great dangers. Here's Mike Vickers. He's a rancher in El Paso, Texas.
These people are being left out here to die, and it's a horrible death, getting cramped up, going down, maybe even have wild animals out here finish you off.
You're lucky if you find them dead before the coyotes, the wild hogs, the caracatas, and the buzzards eat them up.
Most of these people are within 15 or 20 minutes of where we're sitting right here. So we're tired of it. We're fed up with it. And for President Obama to go to El Paso and say that the border's secure, I just can't understand that. So we're here to say otherwise.
Let me get reaction from both of my guests. Damian Kay, first, from you in Mexico. What is the perception there?
In terms of the violence, or in terms of the security of the border?
In terms of the violence, specifically.
The perception in Mexico is still that it's a horrible problem, and that, you know, fear, I think, is driving a lot of this. I mean, when you spend time, for example, in the communities that are along the fence, they're very nervous when you talk to them because they feel like they're being watched. There's a sense that there are lookouts everywhere along the border on the Mexican side who are really controlling things. And so there's intense fear from people who live close, and then the people who live farther south in some of these small towns. You know, they've heard the stories about the kidnappings. They've heard the stories about the people dying in the desert, as those ranchers say. And so that's part of the reason why they're not as willing to try and cross illegally. So it's clearly a factor in terms of immigration, and it's a little bit of in a way that I think a lot of people don't necessarily recognize.
And Jeffrey Pacelle, we now know that the more dangerous crossing is a factor deterring people from making the trip illegally, but what do the numbers say about the attempts at illegal crossings and how successful or unsuccessful they are?
It's not surprisingly, it's something that's pretty hard to get data on. But what we do know from data is that the number of deaths has gone up substantially over the last 10, 15 years. And these are the deaths that we know about. The likelihood that somebody trying to get into the United States will be caught has gone up by 50% over the last 15 years. So it's much more likely that someone will be apprehended. But it seems from the data we have that once somebody decides to try to get into the United States, they will ultimately do so.
One thing that I think people need to keep in mind, too, with this is, as he's saying, and I'm here in Tijuana, I met a guy yesterday who's been apprehended four times in the past 2 months. So sometimes these ranchers, they may not be seeing the exact same people crossing, but it's quite possible that there are because of these multiple attempts, the numbers, say, of apprehensions don't necessarily count people. They count people caught. And so, you know, sometimes it's easy to sort of mistake the numbers for being larger when it's actually repeat crossers. So I think that may be part of what's going on in terms of how the perception doesn't necessarily fit the reality.
Fair point. Let's take a call from April. She is in Manhattan. April, you are on WMYC. April, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Please
can
go.
You hear me?
Yes, I can. April, you are on WMYC with Damian Cave of the New York Times and Jeffrey Pacelle of the Pew Hispanic Center.
Great. My question is, I think I remember reading in the Times that one of the reasons that fewer people are crossing is that families are smaller in Mexico, and so people are more prosperous. Was that right? Did I read that in the Times, or did I?
Meaning,
no, that was actually in my story. One of the things
in Damian's story.
That wasn't.
Damian,
it
go
wasn't
ahead,
in
please.
The story. Just to give you an example, a taxi driver when I was in Jalisco, he was one of 16 kids. He traveled across the United States illegally four or five times. Now he has four kids. And I said, well, what do they want to do? And he said, you know, they only want to go to the U.S. for vacation. And I said, well, what if they don't find a job? And he said, well, if they don't find a job, we're in a position where we can help them because we only have four kids. You know, in my family,
you know,
I have 16.
Overpopulation is so important and so underreported in relation to climate change and war and everything, hunger.
Thank you. Thank you, April, for your call. Please, go ahead.
Damian writes about this. The fertility rate in Mexico in the late 60s and 1970 was about 7 children per woman on average. It's down to about 2.2 to 2.4 now. So it's an incredible change. What has actually begun to happen is we're starting to see the demographics of this kicking in. In the mid 1990s, the number of births that occurred each year in Mexico started to drop. It took a while for the fertility to work its way through, but each successive group of births now is smaller than the year before. And what that means is that when those kids become of labor force age, there's not as many coming into the workforce each year. And so the demographic pressure that Mexico faces to create jobs is lessening substantially, and that's actually already started. That's those smaller birth cohorts are starting to enter the workforce now.
Well, thanks to April for her call, and thank you very much to Damian Cave and Jeffrey Pucel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
My guests have been New York Times reporter Damian Cave from Tijuana, Mexico, and here stateside, Jeffrey Pucel, senior demographer at the Pew Hispanic Center. And we will have to leave it there. While we're on the topic of shifting immigration patterns, don't forget about the Brian Lehrer Show's New Littles Project. Monday is the deadline for artists to submit their illustrated maps of the new ethnic neighborhoods in New York City, from Little Liberia on Staten Island to Little Tibet in Queens. Find all the information you need at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show and look for the New Littles. Coming up next, Tea Party champion Senator Jim DeMint talks about his new book on the movement's rise and what it means for politics in Washington.